God's Word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. This is Will Rice, and First Light is a brief Bible challenge encouraging you to read God's Word, to think about God's Word, and to live it in real life. It's always a bad feeling to not have enough, especially when you're in a tight situation. I can remember years ago hiking with some college buddies from North Rim to South Rim of Grand Canyon. And somewhere down in the middle of the canyon, we were all the way down the wall. We were at the bottom. We were hiking across to what is called Phantom Ranch. And one of my friends became dehydrated. He didn't know what the problem was at the time. None of us did, but he felt very ill. And I remember salt deposits forming on his temples where sweat had just dissipated very quickly. And so he was without water. He was in basically a desert environment, and he didn't have enough. He didn't have enough water. Gratefully, we had some stores. He just had to drink it. We had water stored. He only had to, avail himself of it. Another time, and I've told you this as well, I remember, and this has happened more than once, driving in the desert in West Texas and running out of fuel literally a mile from the gas station. We had been in a long stretch of open ground and desert, and we just didn't have enough. We were out of fuel, and that turned out all right as well. But it's a bad feeling to not have enough. Now, maybe you're in a desert right now. Can I just tell you that being in a desert doesn't mean being deserted? Maybe you feel like you're going through a dry spell in your life, and you wonder where God is, and if there is a God, and if He cares. I just want to encourage you that there is a God, and God is enough. And when God's people remember God's sufficiency, they need neither embrace nor fear the alternative. Now, in Deuteronomy 7, we read the story of God's people. They were, they had gone through the wilderness. They were on the verge of a new land. The Bible says in verse 1, "When the Lord thy God shall bring thee into the land whither thou goest to possess it, and hath cast out many nations, seven nations greater and mightier than thou." Then he gives them instruction for what should follow. These were God's people. God was taking care of them. In verse 6, Moses says, "For thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God." You're special. You're set apart. They were God's people, and they were to remember God's sufficiency. Moses goes on to say, God didn't love you because you were greater than any other people, but He chose you, and He brought you out of Egypt. And it goes on to talk about the sufficiency of God. God is a loving God. God is a faithful God. Verse 9, God is a God of justice. He repays both those that love Him and those that hate Him. Verse 10, He is a sufficient God. In verse 18, He says, "Thou shalt not be afraid of them, but shalt well remember what the Lord thy God did unto Pharaoh and unto Egypt." So God has a track record, and over and again, the people are reminded of what God did do, and therefore what God would do. "So shall the Lord thy God do unto all the people of whom thou art afraid." Verse 19. Verse 21, "Thou shalt not be affrighted at them, for the Lord thy God is among you." So I don't need to fear. We live with changing times and changing faces and changing challenges. And we live in a day where the changes are exponential, which is just to say, what I mean by this is they're happening more rapidly and more broadly than they've ever happened in human history. Many people could live 50 years, 70 years, 80 years, if they were lucky back in the old days, and very little change in their world. But today, my grandmother died at 101 years of age, and literally, I don't think there's ever been a 100-year period in human history where more has changed more profoundly, more rapidly than the 101 years in which my grandmother lived. So I'm just saying, when God's people remember God's sufficiency, they don't need to fear the alternative. Yes, times are changing. Yes, the faces are changing. Yes, challenges are changing, but God has not changed. If God did, God can. If God can, God will. That is the message. Over and again, as you come to this new land, you're facing nothing in kind that you did not face in Egypt and God did not provide. So when God's people remember God's sufficiency, first, they need not fear the alternative. And secondly, they need not embrace the alternative. The real threat to Israel, God's people, was not an external threat. It was the threat of an inside job. A threat within as opposed to a threat without. These people, God called them holy. They were set apart. They were different. They were His own special people. And friend, by faith in the Lord Jesus, you belong to God. If you've never trusted Christ, it's not something you do. It's something Christ did when He died on the cross for your sins, was buried and rose again. I don't care who you are or where you're from. Anyone who acknowledges that He's a sinner, that he or she cannot be fit for a perfect heaven and a holy God, but that Christ is fit, that Christ is God, God the Son, and he paid the price, the penalty for our sins, and who will turn to him alone, they can be God's person, God's people. So we don't need to fear the alternative, and we don't need to embrace the alternative. Again, God's people were reminded over and again, don't make a covenant with these people. Don't marry into the families of these people. Why? Verse 4, for they will turn away thy son from following me. They may serve other gods. So will the anger of the Lord be kindled against you. So we don't need to fear the alternative, and we don't need to embrace the alternative, which quite frankly is probably a greater danger than fear or external threat. Twice, God says, if you follow their gods, their ways, then their gods will be a snare. They'll be a trap to you. You know, we live in a day with a proliferation of so-called experts on marriage, on home, on anxiety, on finance. Now, let me be clear. All wisdom is God's wisdom. So might there be some good instruction that doesn't come from a preacher? Well, of course. But I'm simply here to tell you there's only one God. And it's not as if God is relegated to the religious part of our life. No, physical, spiritual, sociological, financial. There is one God who made one world. It all works together. God is not relegated to one part of our life. God is life. And I'm just telling you, God is true. God is real. And if we turn to and embrace so-called experts that deny the truth of the world God's created, then we have snared ourselves. So the question today is God really enough? And more importantly, is God enough in your life? Well, how would you know? Who do you fear and who do you embrace? When you have God, you have everything you need, because driving or walking or hiking through a desert does not mean being deserted to one who belongs to the Lord.